flaming lips. Hello, you're listening to The Farm Report. I'm Jack Inslee. I've been gone for a while, but I'm back and I'm here with the lovely Heather Hyman as usual. What's up, Heather?
What's up, Jack? Glad to have you back.
I'm happy to be back. It's been a while. The radio station is really healthy these days. Few new shows, good things happening.
Yeah,
as usual,
and lots of beautiful green and vegetables, everything all around us, giving awesome. Us life and sunshine.
Good times in Bushwick right now. We have an awesome guest with us today, Keshri Das. Hello.
Hey Jack, what's up? Hi Heather.
Really glad to have you here live in studio with us. Keshri is just someone who I'm really excited to have on the show with us today. She's doing something that I hope many people will follow and, kind of follow in her footsteps. I'm going to let her tell you a little bit about the company that she recently founded.
But first, we're sponsored today by Edwards of Surrey, Virginia. The Edwards family has joined Heritage Foods USA and Newman Berkshire Farm to develop an all-natural product line featuring Suriano hams, Berkshire smoked slice and slab bacon, and Berkshire smoked sausage links. These new products are produced exclusively from purebred six-spotted Berkshire pigs raised completely outdoors on independent family farms. The Edwards name is well known for its world-class aged and cured meats. For more information about our good friend S. Wallace Edwards and Sons, please visit www.edwardsvaham.com. Sorry to interrupt you there. House cleaning.
We gotta always give our props to our sponsors there, especially Edwards. Well, Keshri, founder of Sattva, why don't you tell us a little bit about what Sattva is and what that name represents?
Absolutely. So basically, I came up with the name. I have a extensive background, despite my young age, in yoga and Ayurveda, which is the ancient Indian science of healing and so forth. So it's a very holistic thing, and Sattva, very simply translated, denotes a sense of balance, things that are pure, unadulterated, and that's kind of what I'm going for with the menu of items I produce.
So let's take a step back. In terms of menu items, you are a catering company. Why don't you further on that a little bit more?
Sure. I actually think of myself a little more broadly, something like a culinary curator, if you will. Mm-hmm. I do a lot of catering, that's true. I also like to operate like a CSA, Community Supported Agriculture, wherein I make soups and focaccia and sorbets. Mm-hmm. Those are my main things. All of them very delectable and organic and or fair trade, vegetarian and or vegan. The eco-sexy list goes on. So, yeah, that's the gist of it.
Well, Keshri is actually the first chef or caterer of anyone of this sort to be a guest on the Farm Report. And there's a reason for that. And it has to do with her background and how she decided to get into catering and cooking for people. So can you tell me a bit about that?
Absolutely. So basically, I took a little break from college, your more traditional collegiate route. Mm-hmm. I was going up to Columbia University and studying a variety of things. Wasn't my style. I went out to India for about a year and a half. I was working on a Gandhian ashram. It also kind of moonlighted as an organic farm.
Wow.
Lots of political activity as well. So that's where I first, got back in touch with the earth and back in touch with, the actual process required in bringing food from the farm to the table. I was doing the actual farming. I was cooking for the community at large. It was great.
Wow, that's amazing. So then when you came back to the States from India, what was your next step in following this newfound, bringing it back to the earth, a new passion for that?
Sure. Well, I had been researching farms across the States, across the world, in fact, where I could potentially do some internships. My first route, I went back to school, focused more on renewable energy, sustainable design, to get a kind of academic background. Yeah. For this new passion of mine, to make it more sustainable. And then I left school again. I started working mm-hmm. in a yoga studio for a few years and made all kinds of amazing contacts.
Oh, wow.
And across the board, all of them basically share my interests in this kind of work. So I started my company a few months ago when I decided to start out on my own.
I mean, it's amazing. We did a special on yoga last week on the Farm Report, and we talked about how many parallels there really are between the community in yoga and really the being like yourself and really caring about what you give and what you also take in.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really awesome to continue this conversation a week later. So I guess why don't you tell me about like where you went next after you went to school and decided to kind of after the yoga thing. continue with the cooking and the farming.
Well, so I started a yoga teacher training. I'm certified as a level 1 and 2 Reiki healer. There's a lot of interest in alternative healing there, and a lot of it informs my food. I could talk for hours and hours on the subject, but I'd like to keep it pithy today.
What's Reiki healing?
Well, Reiki healing, basically a Japanese form of alternative healing. Although over there it's not necessarily alternative,
right,
as
of
such.
Course here it is
States. So you talk about prana, you hear about chi, they have ki. It's also like a Hawaiian concept, so just the idea that there's this life energy, not to get too airy fairy or esoteric, but you know, we all have the capacity to heal ourselves, and that's kind of what I try to get at with my catering as well. I'm literally trying to cater to people's health and their well-being, but also teach them, like, this is what you can do yourself. This is where you can get this kind of food, you know, organic food. It's actually not that expensive if you know where to go. If you cut out the middlemen, deal with farmers directly, that too, farmers in New York State, so...
And you used the word earlier, curator. So I'm assuming that means you really know where your food at all times is coming from, or you know the producers. Is that something you strive to do in all of your menus?
Yes. I know all of my producers firsthand. If there's ever a middleman, it's because I'm wandering around a local farmer's market, say, and, you know, buying produce that's fresh off the truck from the farm, from people that have been hired by the farmers themselves. So there's hopefully little to no exploitation going on. You know, it's mano a mano, farm to table.
So how are you connecting with these producers?
Just by talking to people. I love talking, and I talk to people on the street all the time. I carry a few hundred business cards around with me in this little tin I have on the table here, and just hand them out, and just dreaming creates opportunities.
You're like the Times Square mixtape rappers of of the sustainable catering world.
I say I'm a curator, it's because I throw, how I started out was just throwing neighborhood block parties, trying to bring community back to community. I talk to street artists all the time. I say, hey, you know, I can give you a cut of donations. Everything I do is donation based when it comes to parties, and come over, perform, like, you know, let's lift ourselves up by the bootstraps together.
Patrick Martins, the founder of this network, he likes to use the phrase, all boats rise with a high tide.
So. Absolutely.
I think he also uses the phrase, get everybody drunk to put them in a good mood.
Yes, sir.
That's another phrase he uses.
Okay, all right. Well, when did Sattva, when did you start this company, and what have you been doing since the inception?
So I started it in May, I believe. Yeah, it seems like such a long time ago. And the first thing I did was to talk to Miriam Haas. She is the director of sorts of Community Markets. It's kind of a collective of about 29 markets through New York City and Rockland and Westchester counties. And I wanted to be a vendor at a farmer's market. It was very simple in my mind. I wanted to be a vendor of soups and focaccia and sorbets that I would be making myself. I am a one-woman show. I have lots of people who generously donate their time and energy. Yeah, all made myself, all made fresh. No preservatives, no additives, you know.
So did that happen?
And so what happened was my biggest obstacle basically was obtaining a commercial kitchen at the time, which I have since done, thankfully.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much. So in the meantime, what I did was I just, as I said, started organizing block parties just to get my neighbors introduced to my tastes and get the word spread around the neighborhood itself.
And what neighborhood was this?
This is in Ossining, New York. I am based in Ossining, which is in northern Westchester County, right off the Hudson, as well as Brooklyn, where I live with a few like-minded yogi and culinary souls.
Oh, great.
So quick question, though, for this farmer's market vision that you had, was it more to sell big portions or like hot plates ready to consume right then and there?
Actually, cool summer ready, you know, like chilled soups, for instance.
So I'm there.
You can have it right out of the mason jar.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah.
And I do try and keep things at a price point that, what is the pricing situation like? Because I noticed on your website you talk about organic foods and things like that, and some people are always concerned that comes with a high price tag.
Yeah. Well, in an ideal world, my things would be priced according to a sliding scale where mm-hmm. I would just believe my consumer when they told me, oh, I don't have the money for that, and yet I would love to eat it. But I keep things very affordable. It's comparable with what you would find at your bodega, for instance. Like, I'll give you real numbers. Let's see. A 16-ounce jar of soup could easily go for $6.
And they get to keep the jar?
Yep. Right. And I have all kinds of incentives. Return the jar, get a buck off, la-di-da.
Well, I guess I was glad to say when I opened up that other people should be following in your footsteps when they decide to do something along these lines in catering. Really knowing and being able to tell everyone that's coming by your stand or eating something off your menu where that they all know where the food came from and that you have a relationship with all these producers is really important. I'm just wondering, have you ever spent any time on a farm here in the States?
I have, yeah, quite a few, but not a significant amount of time. I've always been a day visitor, I guess.
Yeah.
I'm trying to change that.
And has it been mostly on the East Coast, or have you had a chance to travel the country and see
traveling the country, actually. Oh, sorry to interrupt.
No, I've just seen different terroirs and mm-hmm. landscapes and things of that sort.
Yeah, I've taken Greyhound across the country numerous wow. times, actually since April, and I
That's
literally
awesome.
Came off a Greyhound bus off of a 3.5 day journey and started my company. I decided, you know, never again do I want to eat this nasty
oh,
food
man, yeah.
prepared by
All
people I don't know. Yeah. And I had taken, you know, this huge bag of food, like pounds and pounds with me, and we had all these potluck parties with ex-cons, etc., in the back of the bus.
Nice.
So it was really great, but there comes a point where you're sharing your food with 20 people and you run out.
Yeah, you tried.
Yeah, that was one of the actual, like, you know, right there, right then impeti for starting my company.
Yeah, all retaliation against all that food you're eating.
High fructose corn syrup. Oh, dear.
Negative. So what's one of the most beautiful places that you've been to, and what's one of the most interesting things you've taken away from one of these visits?
Well, so one thing I haven't mentioned yet is the social justice aspect of mm-hmm. my catering company. Mm-hmm. I specifically want to serve the quote-unquote underserved. That everyone, frankly, is at risk. Some people are just at higher risk than others. And so on Greyhound, for instance, I've come across a lot of single mothers, battered women, etc., people straight out of prison who have such, you know, beautiful ideas for how they want to live their lives. And although it seems kind of weird and maybe disconnected, what does catering have to do with that? Well, I mean, I felt like a yoga therapist for a few years, you know, working in these yoga companies in New York. And it was like yoga was my medicine of choice. Thing is, I can tell people till the cows come home, like, mm-hmm. yoga is for you. And most of the world is not going to believe me. Right. That's fine. That said, everyone needs to eat.
The same thing in the food world, though, too.
Yeah, same thing in the food world, but everyone does need to eat. Mm-hmm. And so the way I see it is kind of demystifying this whole process and, you know, being very transparent about my production process, about, as you were saying, letting people know where I source my ingredients, if not from my own garden, from mm-hmm. local co-ops, from farmers, etc. I want to work with these underserved populations in particular, not just the people who are already going to Whole Foods or already right. you know, going yeah. to their local co-op. That's great too. But that's kind of where my focus lies
awesome.
When I have focus.
Oh, wow. Well, we've got lots more to talk about with you, Kayshree. I'm super excited to hear more about what you've got going on. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to come right back live every Wednesday at 5, Heritage Radio Network, Farm Report. We'll be right back.
She keeps wishing for a city and some style.
We are back, rocking out here. Jack is loving the music today.
Man. Music courtesy of Wayne, Steven, and the boys of the Flaming Lips. Myself and Dan were actually at the Flaming Lips show last night, Terminal 5.
And he is still glowing with excitement.
Yeah.
I wanted to go, man. Oh, man.
Aww. All right. Well, we are back with the Heritage Radio Network's Farm Report. We've got an awesome guest with us today. Her name is Kayserie Das, in case you're just tuning in. She's telling us all about her culinary curation and things of that sort. And we're going to talk a little bit about her own farm, her own garden that she has in the backyard of where she lives in upstate.
Garden or farm, depending on
How much you've sold of your produce.
Yeah, it's a modest farm. It's a micro farm.
There you go.
Okay.
Sure.
Micro people. I'm a small girl.
Yeah, so we're up in Westchester, and what have you got growing back there?
So I have, everything's organic, by the way, grown from saplings from local producers. Lots and lots of varieties of tomatoes at the moment. I have a huge pounder on my lap helping keep me grounded.
What kind of tomato is that?
Well, this is an heirloom tomato.
Do you know what variety?
I don't remember what variety exactly. I actually have more than 15 in my small little tomato plot. We also have some cherry and grape tomatoes on the table right in front of us.
I'd pop out of my mouth right now, but you'd have to hear me chew.
Get it visceral. A whole bunch of tomatoes, a whole bunch of different kinds of peppers, sweet peppers, spicy peppers. I have eggplants. I have zucchini that's exploding right now. I have some cucumber, a lot of different herbs, which I keep in planters on my porch.
Are you drinking basil water right now?
Oh, yeah. So this is from my garden in Brooklyn, where at the moment I just have herbs with my roommates. There's basil and some mint in there.
Nice.
That I'm keeping in a mason jar.
Where in Brooklyn?
It's in the Prospect Heights area, very close to Eastern Parkway and Brooklyn Museum.
Very cool.
You said saplings, organic saplings from your neighbors. Is that seeds?
Saplings as in, so the way I think of it, you can have seeds, right? Mm-hmm. That's like having your own baby, basically, keeping it in the oven for 9 months and popping it out. It's like they started it, and then I adopted a toddler and then planted it in my own garden.
So you transplanted it in your own garden.
Mm-hmm.
Very nice. Cool. So you, they've all sourced these seeds, and they all knew where they came from, just like everything else you do.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
Very cool. So now, do you use any of this stuff that you grow in your company?
I do, yeah. My garden, here's this. Mm-hmm. My territory in Ossining, it being in Westchester, it's somewhat limited in size and scope. It's just half an acre of land, most of which is covered by a house.
Okay.
It's a very modest garden in size, but I do use a lot of the herbs in my cooking. And the lavender, I have all of these crazy, unique sorbet recipes floating around my head that I want to experiment with. So one of them is lavender, lemon, and poppy. Another one is strawberry with violets. So I've yet to get my violet garden started, but I have a lot of neighbors with gorgeous violets, they say.
I just never understood how you could even put that into food, but I know there's definitely that amazing flavor.
Tinctures, concoctions. It's like you basically make a tea. Like lavender, that's something you don't want to put the leaf directly in your food. Right. It can actually make you very sick if you consume it directly, but you extract the essence of it.
Okay. Beautiful. We got a talented chick next to us right now.
Decent voodoo magic.
Yes.
So I'd love for you to take us through an example of one of the events that you had catered.
Sure. I've kind of initiated a relationship with the local boat club in Ossining, in northern Westchester, right off the Hudson, obviously.
I'm sure there's some good clientele.
Yeah. Well, these are people that they love to eat, that's for sure. They don't necessarily always eat the things I eat. Very heavy with the meat and all of that. And as I had said earlier, I tend towards vegetarian and or vegan. That said, they've been open to my presence there as a caterer. My parents used to own boats, and so I've been kind of like an ancillary boat club member for the past 10 years or so, and finally became one on my own terms just recently. So, getting back to your question, I recently co-hosted a Pampered Chef event. It's kind of similar to a Tupperware party. It's you have catalogs of these culinary equipment that you're using, and there are different ways in which you can demonstrate usage of these different culinary tools. So, for instance, you might have a mandolin showing you how to very efficiently, dice a carrot or slice a tomato or what have you.
Other people then do it with you?
Yeah. Well, the way we set it up, because you can just do the demonstration yourself, have people like look and drool and stare and then eat at the end of the thing. But that's no fun. I love hands-on demonstrations myself. That's how I learn best. So the way we set it up was to have different workstations and, you know, have people cut up and dice and chop all of the raw ingredients themselves and then kind of walk them through the whole process of making the focaccia, for instance. Let me give you an example. We had some sun-dried tomatoes that they chopped up, some vine tomatoes that they sliced up. There were frazzled onions that were made. There was some pesto. There was stressed out onions. there was some bosque pear, you know. So we had all of these different ingredients, and then I had pre-prepped the dough just because it takes a few hours to rise. But, you know, everyone kind of chose their own toppings, did their own thing, and then enjoyed it all the more towards the end of the event. Wow. It was great.
That does sound a lot of fun.
The joy was palpable.
During the break, you said something about a fireman party with chicken.
Yeah, chicken. Oh, man, my bane. I do love me some chicken as much as I try to keep things clean and vegetarian. So that was one of my first catering events. It was located at a firehouse, and the lady, Martha, who was throwing the party, a wonderful soul, she was doing this in honor of her daughter, who is graduating from her master's degree as well as getting engaged. So double whammy.
Big party.
So there were no firemen. It was just a fire hall.
Well, it was in a fire hall, and her husband is the one connected to the firehouse. He's a volunteer fireman, and there was the potentiality of having a whole crew of firemen come over. So that's where, you know, the flexibility of my company comes in, because she and her daughter are totally digging everything I believe in. And whereas it seemed as if, you know, the other people coming to her party could possibly take a little more convincing. So she was really worried. Oh, I think we need to get pounds and pounds of chicken and, you know, so on and so forth.
Penny
vodka. Exactly. In the 12th hour, I mean, it can be hard on the caterer, but that's why I do yoga, right? We were literally changing things until the last minute. Mm-hmm. And I think everyone really enjoyed the event across the board. Selfishly speaking, I loved it.
That sounds great. I've never been to any kind of catered event at a fire hall or anything that didn't include like either lasagna, big trays of
whatever
stuff.
So. Yeah, because the husband, he was all about hot dogs and hamburgers, and I told her, lady, I'm sorry. I mean, I love them myself, but that's not what I do. Yeah. So that's where I won't make a compromise, you know. If they wanted me to buy locally sourced yada, 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 I would have gone in for it, but, you know.
Well, you got to stick to your mission so that you, you know, you could just, you know, produce what you believe in. I just had a question that I was really excited to ask you, and it just escaped me.
You got distracted by chicken.
I must have.
But anyway, I mean, so what types of ways do you try to promote this to other people and try to, you know, catch some fire on this idea and spread the word?
It's very much word of mouth. You know, I came here via someone I had seen maybe 3 years ago at a party I hosted right down the street at McKibben Street. We hadn't met for 10 years prior. So we knew each other from fourth and fifth grade. A lot of this has kind of been happening. I call it synchronicity. You know, I just, as I mentioned earlier, once again, I love talking to people. So I just throw myself out there and I say, this is what I'm about. What are you about? You know, and I try to listen actively instead of passively. I think there's a lot of trouble with that. You know, I'm very talkative, obviously, but I place a high premium on actually listening to people and then seeing where we can kind of take a walk together for a while. You know,
I mean, the fact that you were able to take and extract so much out of your Greyhound trips and the people that you met on the road, like when we asked you that question, you know, about like some of the places you've been to, you didn't even like mention the farm. You mentioned the people you met along the way.
Yeah,
and that was like your boom, like you got off the bus and you were ready to kind of change the way like some of these people were eating, and that was your inspiration. And that's pretty awesome, and I really respect that. And it's all about making that change and really trying to you know, share what you have a passion for.
And now where do you see yourself in a few years? What's your plan, like a 5-year plan for this company and yourself?
So, funnily enough, I have dreams of going to medical school in India.
For someone that doesn't like school.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. It has to do with the whole Ayurvedic concept behind sattva. I want to better inform my company, my creations, culinary and otherwise. There's the social justice thing I also mentioned. So, sattva was always meant to be seasonal, to kind of run alongside outdoors farmers markets in the greater New York area. So let's say from April until December or so, and then the rest of the year, you know, I would travel and meet new people, take my catering internationally. So not to seem unfocused, I am in fact very committed to this project. And so I'm kind of trying, you know, kind of grasping at all opportunities that present themselves to me right now within limits of, you know, 24-hour day. But where I want to go in 5 years, I want to, you know, do my catering. I want to spread the word as much as possible. I want to keep it relatively small in that I want a lot of people to know about it, but I want to know my consumers
directly.
Yeah, you
need
directly,
to keep your hands,
you know,
on it.
I want to keep my hands on it. I want to keep the integrity of my vision intact along the path. And yeah, just do my parties and work with farmers, farmer markets, you know.
Okay, well, my question came back, but I'll make it hopefully just a quick one. Mm-hmm. I know we're running out of time. Did you grow up in a household where there was an emphasis on what you ate or what your, like, were people cooking around
your whole
life?
That's a great question. Yeah, something that I always took for granted was that we always had dinner together. And, you know, I'm a first generation American. My parents had to go through a recession in the 80s as immigrants. It was extremely difficult, you know, evictions up the wazoo, or faced with the possibility of that anyway, et cetera, et cetera. So not to paint a sob story, but, you know, through thick and thin, we always had our family dinner, you know. And then I go to high school or middle school, I realize that's not the case with my friends, you know.
Totally.
They're having dinners with, like, TVs in front of them in 5 different rooms of the house. It totally
baffles
me.
Picking it up on their way home.
Yeah, exactly.
From soccer or whatever.
Uh-huh. Your microwave dinners and what have you. And so it's funny, my closest friends, though, have always kind of shared that same kind of family, family commitment, family-oriented or culinarily oriented. Commitment, and it just comes naturally to them as it comes naturally to me.
Well, I mean, super special. I really, I'm so glad that you came by the studio to tell us a little bit about
real
what
quick
you do.
Because we haven't said, we haven't said this on air. How old are you again?
Oh, 23.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
There have been plenty of guests on this network, almost twice your age, who are half as accomplished. So.
Yeah, I keep it going, girl. I mean, this is amazing. I would love to tell people how they could, you know, hire you for a party or learn more about what you do or just get in touch with you because, you know, there's lots of opportunities here.
Yeah, why don't
grow.
You tell us all the Facebook, Twitter, you know,
whatever we can
blog spot.
So you can find me on Facebook under the name Sattva. That's Sattva. And then on Twitter, Sattvic Soups. Sattva was taken. So Sattvic Soups, Soups. Blogspot, Sattvic Succulents. It gets longer and longer. I'm sure we can post some links online.
Yeah, basically,
so
check out our website at the end of the show.
Or you can email us, info@heritageradionetwork.com. We will connect you with Kayshree.
Definitely. I hope there is. We
and,
got
one more thing.
There was one more thing I just wanted to plug two near and dear people to me, culinarily, creatively, etc. Very quickly. Mm-hmm. One of them is Ethan Frisch. I just met him recently, an old high school dear friend of mine. He started an ice cream company called Gorilla Ice Cream. You can also find him on Facebook, etc. And it's all about social profit above all else. So that's one thing. And then Craig Purdy, he runs a little joint called Umami Cafe that's up in Croton on Hudson, in Westchester, and farm to table kind of guy, really, really amazingly supportive.
You said he was a mentor of yours.
Yeah, local initiatives, small businesses, etc. So
thanks so much. We will be back. Actually, we're going to probably take 2 weeks off. We'll be back towards the end of August. But this is the Heritage Radio Network's Farm Report. You can listen to us Wednesdays at 5. And for always and ever, check our archives at www.heritageradionetwork.com. We are going to say thanks to Dan for producing and Nat for engineering today.
And every second Friday of every month, you can catch myself and Nat the Engineer as Knife Show doing our full service party at Tandem Bar around the block.
What's up, Bushwick?
Good vibes to you all.
Thanks
for tuning in.
Have a great
one. Thank you.
Bye.
She submits as she dominates. She gets out.